Everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast. My name is Adam Glynn. Over there is Dax Holt. We have a really, really fun episode today. Dax, we are talking to two people that you've been wanting. You hung out with them recently.
I did. I hung out with them at BravoCon and started talking about the possibility of this episode, and it is finally coming true. So we have Teresa Giudice and Melissa Feaster on. I said her name wrong. Sorry, Melissa Feaster. They host the Namaste Bitches podcast, and we were chatting during BravoCon, and they were down for it, and we just had to find time, and they're coming on today. But obviously, Teresa has been a big plot point in my entertainment career because, you know, she has had a very obviously, the Real Housewives franchise was huge. She was a big deal. She still is a big deal on there. But her trip to prison was also a really big deal. And the coverage of that and how, you know, everyone was talking about it. And I think this is kind of like a fun full circle moment to actually have her on and ask the questions we want. And I haven't been told that we can't ask questions. It seems like she's pretty much an open book. And, you know, I do have questions I want to ask her about her time behind bars, and I hope that she is willing to answer them. And I hear she is, so you know, let's yeah. kind of see what happens today. But I'm excited for this episode.
Yeah, I'm excited just to have a conversation because, you know, Dax, years ago when she was going to jail and she was going through a lot, it was one of the biggest stories in America. You know, yeah. A housewife, one of the biggest franchise shows, is going to jail or was under, you know, investigation for some serious allegations. And we covered it. I was at the courthouse when she was at her lowest place. And I gotta be honest with you, like those days aren't my happiest things to cover. In fact, I don't know how other guys feel about covering those things, if it's just a job to them. But for me, I just don't like being a part of that stuff. I try to be happy. Those parts, it's like, it's not fun for them. It's not a good place. And I don't want to be part of that, their memories of doing the thing. So I'm looking forward to having a candid, hopefully nice, fluid conversation with her and hearing her perspective and also her hearing my perspective on it. Before we get to them, we read reviews. That's how much we love them because this is the best thing to do to support this podcast. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
I do. All right. This one is 5 stars from Spags1. The headline says, on the road with Hollywood Raw podcast, and it says, commuting for a few more weeks, and you have made my drive quicker and more enjoyable. Adam and Dax, you are at the top of your game. The banter and chemistry are genuine. Your pop culture vault is indefinite and beyond. Love Hollywood Raw. Forever a fan, Sally. Yes! Sally. I love that we can accompany you on your long commutes. Keep it up. We've got such an archive of so much stuff, so many interviews, so many just fun details that I swear if you get lost in our archive, you will have a blast because there's so many evergreen things in there. Like we like to ask people questions, not about like necessarily what's pertaining to them right at that moment, but like, what is their career like? What is it like working in Hollywood, pulling back the curtain, talking to all these really big names and famous people and seeing what their journey has been like?
Yeah, I'd recommend really people go to our archive, our old episodes, because these episodes, they don't age. They don't age out. They're continuously very interesting, very unique. We had this guest, a few months ago about the award show season. That was just a really good conversation. If you haven't listened to it, really good episode to check out. But today's episode, I'm excited for. Dax, tell us about our guest today.
Well, our guest today, hosts of the Namaste Bitches podcast, we have, obviously everyone knows her, Teresa Giudice, and her co-host, Melissa Feaster, who is also a very big deal in Hollywood, and we'll get into why. But Melissa, Teresa, thank you guys for joining us.
So guys, we've been wanting to talk to you guys for such a long time. You guys have been doing an awesome job with this podcast, the Namaste Bitches. How did this podcast come together? How did you guys come together to form this podcast?
Wait, why did you say bitches like that? It seemed like there was a lot of meaning behind that.
Yeah, but wait, and let me ask you something. Do you like the name?
It comes off so good. I do like it. It comes off very, like,
it did. Nice. You were excited.
It's very fluid.
About
that.
Okay,
yeah,
so you like the name.
It comes off very fluid.
I
do. I
like that.
How did we meet, Teresa?
Well, we met in California. So basically, Melissa was stalking me because she came. Sure. I was in California, so she came to my event. No, we met through Cynthia Bailey. She's an Atlanta housewife, and Melissa was her date at the Ultimate Girls Premiere. Yeah, the Ultimate Girls Premiere. That, you know, the first season that I was on, and so she came to the event, and that's how we met, and we just hit it off.
And then, Melissa, how did you know her? How are you her date to that event?
Oh, so doing Side Piece, the other podcast that I have, I had, first of all, had Teresa's attorney on and became cool with him. And then I had, at the time, it was Cynthia's husband, Mike Hill, on and became really close and cool with him. And then through Mike, met Cynthia. And Cynthia was like, last minute, she's like, yo, Mike can't come to this event. Do you want to be my date? And
you want to be my bitch?
Might be my bitch, my bitches. I mean, I'm always a bitch. I don't care. But then Teresa's attorney was like, yo, Teresa's going to be there. You guys should just, obviously you'll meet, but see if something happens.
So I guess that's my next question. Why do you guys work so well together? Melissa, what is your thought on that?
I think that Teresa and I, for as opposite as we are on some levels, we're very similar on the core ones. You know, we're moms, wives. We work very hard. Both of us work very hard. And like, there's certain core things we get along with. And you know, which another reason why we wanted to start this, a lot of people sometimes unfortunately don't see through Real Housewives of New Jersey that, you know, she's on the defense a lot. So when you're on the defense a lot, you're not cracking jokes as much. You're not having as much fun because you're always like fucking Tyson, like, you know, with the jabs.
Yeah. Everyone thinks I'm really funny when you get to know me. Yeah.
And that's the thing. We laugh and we have fun, and those are the things that we wanted to showcase, you know, bringing the side out of Teresa that anyone watching the show for the last 14 years would not normally see. And also just talk about the things that make us who we are at the core that are very similar.
So you mentioned, obviously, Teresa, you're like, I'm a lot of fun. I'm always on the defense. But this question goes to both of you.
Well, if you watch the show, it looks like, you know, it's like that. I'm always on the defense because I guess when you're on top, everyone comes for you. So that's why, you know,
and there's always storylines going on with you, Teresa, obviously with your job and the show, there's always something going on, some sort of drama going on in your life. So when you guys go out, when both of you go out, you know, most of you're around very, you know, very interesting crowds, from celebrities to socialites. And Teresa, yourself are a very big celebrity in your area as well, and that Bravo and housewife community. Do you feel self-conscious going out because you want to have fun, but with everyone having cell phones now, do you feel like you can't have fun because of that? There's always that fear of someone watching you, judging you, trying to get some content out of you.
No, I'm so past that. Yeah, I never really worry about that. I mean, I guess maybe when the kids were little, like if they were, I mean, not even. It's like if anybody would do that, that's on them. But no, I'm pretty much myself. It's not like, you know, I always act the right way in out in public. So it's not like I have to be ashamed of like or be careful of how I'm acting. Like I'm control of my alcohol. You know, some people have to worry about that. Like, I don't have to ever worry about that. So no, I'm not self-conscious at all.
What about you? When you're around people in the crowd, do you feel almost like you need to, if you're out with Cynthia, for example, do you feel like you need to be protective of her from other people trying to either A, go up to her and get photos, or B, just kind of slide in their hand with their phone and trying to get some video of her just walking up and around?
I mean, A, I wish that people would get me with my top off more often. If my boobs could be shown more often publicly and on the internet, I would be very happy.
You could just walk around and take it off. You could take it off right now.
I mean, listen, don't tempt me, okay? I mean, let's pick it up a little notch, okay? I'm completely sober. I have no problem taking my clothes off.
I mean, the only what I hate, I mean, I'll just say, like, when I'm, like, if there was times that I was, you know, in a bikini, and, like, of course, they take the worst angles of you. And I'm like, really? They had to take that angle? They couldn't wait till I pose for it? You know? That's the only time that I was like, oh, that's such a bad photo. Otherwise, I don't, you know, whatever. I don't care.
After all of these years on a reality show, do you ever still get annoyed with the way they edit you down? Because I know people complain a lot about that. Like, oh, I didn't like how that was edited together. I look like an asshole. I didn't like the way they made me look. Do you get annoyed, or are you just so over it at this point because you're used to the games and the way they edit?
Yeah, I mean, you know why I got a, like, it didn't bother me for so long? Because I used to not watch my show. Mm-hmm. Like, so I used to not watch my show because with me, it's different, guys. Like, I work with my family and it's not something that I signed up for. It's something that was just handed to me because, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, I mean, I didn't even know about it. And then I found out when, you know, they just call me, they're like, oh, your family's, you know, your sister-in-law and cousin going to start working on your show. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I just had dinner with them last week and they didn't even tell me they were interviewing me. So with me, it was totally different. So I didn't watch the show for years, like a long time. The past few years, I've been watching the show because I was like, you know what? I'm in this now. Like, I have to watch it. I have to see, you know, what my family is saying about me. Like, and I need to know about all this. So now I have been watching it. And I mean, it is what it is. Like, you can't fight with your boss. Like, you know, if like it, so you just accept it and you just got to think before you talk and make sure like your point gets across the right way.
I hate the sound of my own voice. What do you think of your own voice?
Yeah, I don't like my voice. Yeah. And you know what? When I'm in supermarkets and I'm on the phone, like a customer, like on the other side or, you know, people hear, they're like, Teresa, is that you? They know my voice. And I'm like, shit. Oh my God, I gotta talk lower. Yeah.
So a lot of people. Your voice is very common, Teresa.
Yeah. A lot of people recognize my voice. I know. I'm like, shit, I gotta like talk lower.
That's so funny.
Melissa, does entering the Housewife franchise, is that something that, where do you stand on that? Obviously with the podcast doing really well, they're seeing your relationship with these people. You obviously, you're an attractive person. You fit the mold. Is that something that you been in conversation with? Have you turned it down? Like, what's your role with that?
I mean, no, I don't think there hasn't been talk. I mean, Teresa and I coming up on the new season, we do stuff together.
Yeah, I mean, she lives in California. The only way she could be a housewife is if she's a Beverly Hills or Orange County housewife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing Beverly Hills. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's tough because I'm in LA and she's there. So I would go and film and do some things with her. But
Melissa's going to be in the new season 14.
Okay.
Nice.
We did the baseball event and then our first ever live podcast show.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's towards the end of the season. So that was really fun. But you know, that's like Teresa's world. You know, I'm there to back her up and be a part of it as, you know, her friend, her co-host and all that. But as far as Jersey, unless I live there's no world that would work.
But what if they approached you for the West Coast? Is there any, you know, if they approached you, would that be something you'd be interested in? And then my second question is, from your appearances on New Jersey, obviously it's good promotion for Namaste Bitches.
Plug yeah, by. Bitches.
But it's a good promotion for the podcast, but is that a paid appearance or how does that work for you?
Bitches nice. Can you say bitches nice?
Bitches!
Like that?
You don't ever do that again, Dad. I will forever hear that in my mind. I mean, no. No, not for my stuff. I think it's more just most people anymore with reality TV, whether it's someone that our friend over here knows about, whether you're doing Shark Tank or whatever. I think it's about just building your business and building your brand. So like, I wouldn't care. I just was excited to, you know, have our podcast that we've been working very hard on for the last year and a half to then be showcased on the next season.
Yeah. I got a super random question for you guys. Did either one of you go to your high school reunion?
No. Who was just talking about? Oh, Bradley Cooper.
Did he go to his?
He did. He goes to his high school reunions.
God, can you imagine him walking in?
Yeah, I don't really care to see anyone. And anybody, I still talk to one of a few of my girlfriends from high school. Matter of fact, she came to my wedding a year. Like, you know, so I just still talk to a few people from high school.
I feel like
that's
Facebook,
why if I want to see them, I could just see them. I don't need to go to high school reunion.
I feel like Facebook killed the reunion thing because you see what they look like. You know everything. What they're up to, whether or not you're friends with them. You're like, oh, yeah, I saw they had kids, whatever. There's no catching
but you know
up
what?
To you anymore.
I would go to Bradley Cooper's high school reunion. So I could fake that, being in that class. I haven't gone to one of
and
mine.
And I wasn't thrilled about my high school, so...
Where'd you go to high school?
But that's everyone's dream is to walk back in and be like, you guys treated me like shit back in high school. Look at me now.
Yeah, no, they didn't treat me like shit. I wouldn't take that. But I just didn't care to go to it at all.
But obviously, you guys have now, you know, you're both in your own right doing some pretty cool things in the public spotlight. How do those people, when you run into them, the people you grew up with, how do you notice them treat you a little bit different? Because you're at the level you are at now, and obviously a little bit more high profile.
Well, with me, I mean, my real friends know they treat me the same. I mean, I guess there are people that try to hang around because they want things. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've seen that throughout the years. That you know, like, and it's so hard for me to say no because I'm. You know, I'm nice like that. But, you know, it's like this year I said, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. Like, I got to think, you know, I want people around me that I want around me and not because, you know, because I'm Teresa Giudice. And I have to be more aware of that because time is precious. So I want to hang out with people that I want to hang out with, not because, you know, I'm doing somebody a favor. It's like, I'm tired of doing that. I've been doing it for a long time. So,
well, on that note, Teresa, I need $30.
Yeah, I'll give you $30.
I'll give it to you right up your ass.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying it's like time is precious. Like, I have, you know, a lot of kids, like they need my time. And it's like, I just want to do what makes me happy, you know?
You've done it all. You've done some pretty cool things. Like, you know, obviously from the Bravo fame and stuff. What's the coolest thing that's ever been sent to you? You know, obviously we see the gift boxes sent to all these social media people over the years, but what's the coolest thing? You opened up your door, had something there, and someone's like, hey, here's a gift for you.
I wrapped myself in a box one day and sent it to her.
That's a good gift.
I'm trying to think the coolest
gift. No, she didn't even care. The appreciation.
You didn't do that. I don't know. I don't think I got any a cool gift. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Have you gotten free vacations?
Say it again.
Free vacations. You just have to go on your Instagram and say, "Hey, had a great time at Marriott Aruba." I don't know. Have you? So you
yes,
had
like for hotels. Yes.
Gotcha. Yes. How often do you get those type of deals?
I not all the time. Like last year, I had a cruise ship came to me and they wanted me to go on it. But my husband was like, he's like, babe, I can't do a cruise ship. He's like, yeah. So, and they offered it to me and Gia went with her boyfriend, but like Louie and I didn't go.
So here's one thing I've heard.
And then I was scared. I was like, oh my God, do I have to be on this? Like be around all these people. Cause like,
yeah,
I like to be more private and like, I don't like big resorts anymore. Like I like small resorts. I like boutique-y hotels because, you know, it's just, I never say no to a picture. I never do. Cause I get it. Like if you see somebody you love, you want to take a picture with them. So that's why I never say no. But that's why sometimes I'm just like, I would like to be, you know, you know, just, I just want to chill without, you know,
you don't want to be on.
Like, I mean, not that I'm on, but it's just like, sometimes you just want to be left alone, you know? But, and I never say no. Like, a lot of my friends get annoyed. They're like, you never say no. And they're like, they always bother you. And sometimes when I'm about to eat something at a dinner table, if somebody comes up to me, I'm like, real, like, as I'm eating now, like, I'm like, can you come back?
It is like that though. We'll be out to dinner and we'll be, you know, at dinner. And even in the midst of dinner, if someone comes over, she'll take a picture. Like, very excited.
What's the etiquette to that? What, you know, people don't come up to us and ask us for a photo at dinner, but how do you, are you, if you see a celebrity at dinner, and Teresa, it's hard for you, you're a tough example because you say yes to everything, but what would make you feel better if someone approaches you, wants to, sees you at a restaurant? Do they have to wait for you to finish? Should they not approach you at the food?
That has happened. Yeah, you wait till after they're done eating and then you go.
Okay.
Like, after dinner, you know? I mean, I guess if you're leaving, then what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to, you know, which I feel bad. Like, so I get it. Like, and we're popular because of them, you know, because they're watching us. So,
yeah. Like,
I got to tell you, you guys want to hear a funny joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So we're in Craig's in California, and Drake walks in. So Drake says hi to me. Drake says hi to, you know, shakes Louis's hand, says hi to, I was there with Gia. And Louis starts fanboying. Like, he's like so excited that Drake is there, you know? And I guess Drake wanted to be left alone, which I get it, you know? So, but Louis was so excited to see him. And he loves Drake. Like, we went to go see his concert. He bought a suit this past year. And we went to go see him, the whole family. Anyway, he still bought a suite after he's Drake said no. But anyway, he wanted to take a picture. And I guess he wasn't feeling pictures that day. So he said he, you know, no. And then he was supposed to be sitting next to us. Then he moved his table because I guess, you know, he wanted to be left alone, you know.
Fanboy. He didn't want the fanboy up on him.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe he didn't know. You know, he didn't tell somebody where he was at, you know, I don't know. Something was going on. I'm not going to give all the details away. So anyway, but it was so cute. And I felt so bad because Louis really loved him and he wanted to take a picture with him. And he, you know, and he only wanted to take the picture because for his son, Louis, you know, and he went for my stepson, he wanted to show it to him. But that was so cute.
So wait, back up. Did Drake, what I need to know, did Drake come up to you and introduce himself to you?
No, he said hi to me. He just said hi to me. He said hi.
I said hi. But did he recognize? Is he a big Real Housewives? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't fan over anybody. I don't want to take a picture with anybody. I'm not like that. Like, if we're at an event and we take, you know, I don't know if it happens. It happens. I don't go up to anybody and say, "Can I take a picture of you?" I'm so not that person. I'm really not. Like, I don't need to take a picture of you and put it on my Instagram to show that I'm friends with you. I'm so not that person. So I'll never ask for a picture. If it happens, like if we're taking pictures with other people in a group setting, then we do it. Then I'm like, okay, fine with it. But I just, because I get it. Some people don't want to take pictures. Some people do.
But Teresa, so, do you think that, my question is, do you think Drake knew you from Housewives? Like, he's a Housewife.
I don't know. I think so. I mean, he said hi to me, you know, and he said hi to Louie. Okay. He was cool with Louie.
He just wanted to bone you.
I mean, you know, he's hot. Yeah. So like, yeah, no. So he said hi to Gia. Like he was cool. But then Louie had to ask for a picture because he was so excited to see, you know, he was so excited to see him. It was so cute. And he really loves him. He's like, you know, a big fan. So, but I'm like, babe, next time don't ask for a picture. And I said, you know, if it's a different set, I know, I guess it wasn't the right setting, you know? So, but it was really cute.
So going back to the traveling and getting hotels and all that kind of stuff, free comp stuff, I saw you recently in the Bahamas and Joe was there. The whole family got together for, was it New Year's? Was it Christmas?
Yes, New Year's.
New Year's. How did that go? How was that interaction?
Oh, it was great. The kids were so happy. Again, it was my husband's doing. He's like, let's go hang out with Joe for New Year's. I'm like, oh, really? No. I was like, no. He's like, it would make the kids so happy. And it did. It made my daughters so happy. And so it was really nice. It was nice. Like, yeah, it did make them happy. But next, I mean, the weather wasn't that great. There was two or three days that it was cloudy. So I'm like, next time we're not going to Bahamas for New Year's. Cause like January, I mean, the end of December is iffy in Bahamas. It could be. I mean, I heard some New Year's, it's been beautiful, but this, I mean, New Year's Eve ended up being a great night, but like a few days it was cloudy. So I was like, you know, when you go on vacation, you don't want any clouds at all.
Yeah.
So, but we had a great time. Yeah. It was nice hanging out with them. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you and Joe, obviously you still have children together. How often do you guys communicate?
Yeah, we do have children. We have four children.
How often do you guys talk to each other about your kids?
We don't talk that much because we only talk like when I need him. I need help with this? Like talk to this one, you know, like that. But we don't talk. I mean, I have to say Louie and him talk more than Joe and I talk.
That's so funny. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, Louis wants, he has a good relationship with them, which is nice.
Yeah, that's great. That's really
cool. And he does it. He's always like doing the right thing. Like he's pretty amazing. Like, yeah, it shows the kids that, you know, that they get along and they love that. They love that.
Melissa, Teresa, you mentioned Craig's. Melissa, I'm sure you've been to Craig's a bunch. Teresa, you're an Italian girl from Jersey. You've been to a lot of Italian restaurants. Melissa, do you think Craig's is that good? And Teresa, do you think Craig's is that good?
I was just there recently. And the owner, I was out with Larsa, Pippen, and Marcus with Louie. Yeah. And we went to dinner. And the owner came to the table. I've seen him so many times. I didn't know if he was the manager, but he was the owner. And he was so nice. What's his name? And Melissa, we've been there together too.
Yeah,
Craig.
Oh, Craig, right? That's his name. Okay, yeah, I didn't know. So, and I met him, and I've seen him so many times. I just didn't know he was the owner. He was so nice. Yeah, and the food is really good there. It really is good.
I mean, I think it's also the scene, right? People go there to be seen. I mean, if people come into town and they're like, "Oh, I have to go to Craig's to be seen," and I'm saying this
Melissa, we've never been there, right? You and me have never been there.
I don't think, but like, I don't do.
She doesn't. Yeah, she did. Like, I made her pick restaurants. Where do we go? Tell them where we went when I came to Cali with you.
Oh, so if we're gonna it in Beverly Hills, like I like Mastro's.
Okay. Mastro's is solid.
Like,
you can't go wrong.
But like, I also.
Oh wait, and then we went to Ocean too.
Ocean Prime.
Ocean.
Okay, that's a solid restaurant.
But a lot of people do go, they come into LA and they want to go to Craig's because they just feel like, you know, paparazzi will be out there or, you know, it's the scene. Again, not this one.
I like Craig's, because it's a cool scene. I don't care about paparazzi, but I like it because the food is good. And like, I like the bar scene. Like, it's like, you know, it's a cool vibe. Because I have to say, LA, everybody goes to bed so early.
That is true. We shut down real early out here.
Like you go to LA. I want to party a little bit and hang out. And I'm like, freaking everybody. Like, what's the problem? Yeah.
We don't have the nightlife out here. Melissa, is it true that your husband is like a big deal in Hollywood? I've heard rumors that he works in Hollywood. He does something, but I don't know what he does.
You don't know what he does? Tell me.
I don't.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he started pushing mail carts at William Morris.
Okay.
20 something years ago. You know, he was Coffee Bitch and, you know, errand boy. And he started representing production companies, selling TV shows in the non-scripted world. And he just started, you know, he's a good dude. And Hollywood, maybe we meet a lot of not great people, especially agents. And he's one of the ones that just always did good by people, and he moved up, and the both of us are very psycho into sports. And that's actually how we met, just talking over sports and whatnot. And then he started getting into the sports world, and then he now he's a partner over there and he still sells TV shows, but he also runs the sports department for William Morris.
Oh, wow.
So he takes athletes off the court. Like he had Kobe for the last 7-8 years, whatever. LeBron, people like that. Peyton takes them when they're not on the court and does their production companies and starts production companies with them. The Spring Hills, LeBron's, Omaha for Peyton, things like that.
Very That's cool. incredible. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool because we're like sports dorks. We love sports. We love going to events and games and all that. So that makes
it fun. Yeah, I'm so the opposite of that. Like, I didn't know, I'm going to take that back. I know Michael Jordan's big, but I didn't know, like when you turn 23, you say, it's my Jordan year. Cause my daughter just turned 23 and on her Instagram, Gia, she wrote Jordan 23 or something, or Jordan year. I forgot what she wrote. Like I missed the Jordan part. Like I didn't read that part. I just saw 23. And then I didn't know that's a thing to say. It's your Jordan year. So
she's talking to somebody who literally had 8 pairs of Air Jordans growing up. And
I never had 1 pair of Air Jordans growing up.
Have basketball court in her backyard. Yeah.
But my kids do.
And then you're hanging out with Larsa, who's, you know, dating his son.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I hope he didn't hear that. I know who Michael Jordan is. I'm not a basketball person. Louis is. And it's new because I mean we've only been together 3 years. Growing up, I was into football and soccer, so that's what I'm into. Yeah.
Teresa, you mentioned paparazzi. What's your relationship with paparazzi? Because I'm sure now you really don't have photographers in New Jersey kind of chasing you down. But you know, there was a period a few years back when you were really much in the headlines of the news, and there's a lot going on you regarding everything going on in your life. How did you deal with the paparazzi during, I don't want to say the height of your fame, but during the chaotic years?
I used to like not leave. Yeah, they used because they would be right outside my gate and I wouldn't leave my house. Or if I had to leave, I would tell my daughter, like, cover me, like, you know, like put up my jacket or something. It was like, I know, it was crazy. Yeah, because like when Joe left, like I had no choice. I had to drive my kids. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I would just tell them to cover me like that. And I just dealt with a lot. I mean, I have to say sometimes I even tried to outrace them, and which that was dangerous because, you know, you really shouldn't do that. But it's like they were like following me. I saw them. They wouldn't get off my tail. I'm like, you know, so I would try to lose them.
Did you ever think about cutting a deal with them? Because I've seen this a lot and we've talked to numerous celebs on the podcast who come on and we're like, you know what, sometimes if you just give them what they want, they'll go away. And so they'll cut the deal of like, listen, you take my photo, take all you want for the next 5 minutes, but then like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. We did that. Like I'm on vacation. Like if I saw them and I'm like, oh man, I'm like, they're freaking here. So, and then I did it with Louie. I'm like, can you go talk to them? I'm like, I don't want them taking a bad photo. If they want a picture of me, tell them and we'll just take a picture and be done with it. And you know, I have to say they were really nice in Europe. Mm-hmm. So we did what they wanted and that was it. And they left us alone.
Did you work out a deal with an agency with your European, with your honeymoon photos? Did you get paid on those photos and did you work it out or how?
No.
Okay.
They just took them. They just took them. Yeah.
Did you ever do deals like that with like an agency and do setup shots?
No. Oh, the only time when I got out of jail.
What was that? Yeah. So what was
because
that?
Because they wanted the first photo and I did it because I was like, if they're going to get it anyway, sure. So I might as well make money off of it.
Well, how did they contact you at that point? Is this through a manager, an agent?
Maybe.
A lawyer, no?
No, I think they contacted my lawyer at the time.
Lawyer at the time.
Yeah, because I think I had his number there I can't remember because it's been a while now. Or whoever deals with my appearances stuff. Like I think it's on my Instagram at the time.
I give you credit because there's a lot of people that wouldn't think oh, like I can profit off of this. And you see it go by and then you're like, shit, why didn't I think about doing something more? Because this is it's a big moment. People are curious. And why not, if you're the person who's the center of it, why shouldn't you benefit in some way? I think.
Yeah, like I should have did that with my wedding photos and I didn't, because the paparazzi was outside and they had to cover me. They didn't even show that on the wedding special, because I had to walk from the hotel was on the premise where I was getting married. And as I walked from the hotel to the reception hall, I had all umbrellas and all like blankets, like these sheets covering me as I walked across. Then that was funny. Like I thought they didn't show that, right? Melissa? Yeah, they didn't show that. Yeah. But we actually did that. Like, and because I didn't want them getting the first photo. Like, I think I'm trying to think if I, you know, I ended up, I think, giving it to them, but I didn't get paid for it.
Do you ever talk about your time behind bars? I'm sorry if I'm just curious. I don't know if you, is that something you talk about or you keep to yourself?
I mean, I'll talk about it.
Honestly, I just have one question. I'm curious what the food was like behind bars.
I have to say the food was really good.
Really?
Food man.
Yes. And I actually cooked there also. So, cause I'm a cook, you know, I have 4 cookbooks. For my cookbooks, I'm a three New York Times bestselling, New York bestselling author. So 3 of my cookbooks.
Would they let you into like the kitchen and you
I cooked dinner for everyone.
What would you cook?
Whatever was on the menu that day. Yeah. Like, I think I made a chicken stir fry one time.
Awesome. Now, were you able to request ingredients or you'd like,
well, no, whatever, it's whatever they you
have,
get
you that, have
it's,
to figure out.
It's whatever you get that day. You're like whatever they have.
So every day is kind of like a Gordon Ramsay crazy thing where come up with your own menu.
I'm telling you, the food was so good. And what was my favorite was when I first got there, they had banana nut muffins. I would have a banana nut muffin every morning. It was so good. And then they ended up running out of them. And I was like, so mad. I was like, they were so good. They were really good.
Can you give me one thing here? One thing.
How many people would you cook for?
Say it again.
How many people would you cook for?
I mean, I can't remember now. How many people were in my whole place? It was like, well, first it was a camp setting. Yeah. I think there was maybe like 200. Like
you cook for 200 people?
Yeah, I could do that. Amazing. No problem. Yeah, I could do that. No problem. I'm Italian.
I got to think that's pretty freaking cool. If you're there and you're like, oh, Teresa's cooking for us, you're cooking some great meals, stir fry, anything else you can
remember? Yeah, my roommate was a politician. I was in there with doctors, lawyers, like, yeah, I mean, there was, I met a lot of cool people in there. And, you know, of course, there was a lot of, you know, people with that, which sadly went away for a long time with drugs, sometimes not even doing it, like just being in the car with their boyfriend, which is sad. And they got a long time for that, which I think that's unfair. So I was like, you know, with a lot of white collar, white collar crime. Thank God. I mean, it wasn't bad where I was. Unfortunately, it's like, I tell my daughter, it's like being at college, but the only thing is I just couldn't leave. I had to stay there. I mean, I was able to go outside and get fresh air. And I have to say the grounds were so beautiful. The scenery was beautiful. I was in Danbury, Connecticut. And I used to be like, really, God? I used to talk to God. I was like, why did I have to come here? Because I mean, I'll tell you guys straight up. I know I'm not a criminal. I know I did not intentionally commit a crime. I signed 2 mortgage documents in front of lawyers that, you know, I bought 2 homes that my husband wanted me to use my credit, which I had over 800. Mm-hmm. So I used my credit to buy these 2 homes. And I'll never forget my mom. She's like, you know, my mom said to me, Teresa, you have the best credit ever. Make sure he pays them so you don't ruin your credit. And I'm like, Ma, of course he's going to pay. He's my husband. And then what do you know? 10 years later, I end up going to prison because I'm on TV. They want to make an example of me because I signed for those 2 homes that I bought he flipped them.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's so sad that, and I thought the judge was not going to put me away because I thought she really could see who I really was, but she kind of stereotyped me. And she said, like in the courtroom, like she was talking to me like she knew who I was. Like she was saying, like, you were trying to keep up with the Joneses. And I was like, oh my God, no, I wasn't. Like, and it was because of everybody, even my brother and even my cousin, stuff that they were saying on the show, that this judge thought she knew me because of what my castmates were saying of me, you know? And I'm like, she doesn't even know me because I wasn't trying to keep up with the Joneses. If anything, everybody was trying to keep up with me. And it was sad, like, because I was like, if she really even knew who I was. And she wasn't, you know, So I just thought I feel like we came from similar backgrounds and I thought she would really see who I was. But I guess, I don't know, I guess she had to do her job. And sometimes I know in this political world, like you have to do things. Sometimes people are watching you. And because I guess I was in the public eye and I think they all had a plan. Like I had to go away because I was Teresa Giudice. I was on TV. They had to make an example out of me. Cause even my husband was told him my wife had nothing to do with anything. And he's like, babe, I can't believe they want you more than they want me. And he's like, and he's the one that didn't pay the taxes. And then I got, you know, punished for it, which was so sad. And the hardest thing was that I was like, I didn't want to leave my four daughters. I was like, you know, they didn't deserve that. That was like the hardest thing. But what kept me sane was that my parents were with them every single day. So I was like, you know, I know my kids are going to grow up amazing and strong. Cause I mean, that's how I grew up. Cause my parents, I had my beautiful parents and they were around them. So that's what kept me sane. And I felt bad for my parents cause they were old school Italians. They were born in Italy. And they didn't understand. They're like, they knew I didn't do anything wrong. And it was sad that I felt bad that I'm sure my parents suffered a little bit seeing, you know, their daughter that had, you know, she had to go to that. But I reassured them every single day. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. And I got the best, you know, in the best shape ever. I worked out every single day. I read a lot. And that's it. I mean, I came out, I looked so rested because I used to take naps every day like they do in Italy. And
damn, Teresa, you're making prison sound pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, I'm ready. Yeah, I want some Teresa food.
Yeah, I have to say, it wasn't because I know in my heart I didn't do anything wrong, so I know it wasn't gonna be a bad thing. So,
well, tell me this: have you deep down in your heart, have you forgiven Joe for putting you in that situation that landed you in there? And that's time away from your kids, you know, time you can't get back.
Yes, that's a good question. Thank you. Yeah, because, you know, it took a long time for me to forgive him because then I lost my parents. I came home. I lost my mom 8 months later. I was so devastated because my parents were my life. I come from a small family and my mom, like, she was a saint. She like just lived for me and my brother. Like I had like those kind of parents that just loved their kids so much that just did everything for us, home cooked meals every day. Like, you know, they just, everything was about me and my brother. Like, you know, they were just the best parents ever. And so I lost my mom 8 months later, never thought that would happen. And then my dad moved in with us and he was like so upset. He cried for a year straight after my mother passed away. And then I had my dad with us for 3 years and then he passed away. He was so heartbroken that the love of his life passed away. Like, and I knew, you know, but he fought, like he wanted to stay with me and the girls, which was beautiful. And, that's it. But finally, I finally forgave him because I know that this had to happen in order for me to not have been with Joe anymore. So I felt like that had to happen in order for me to meet my soulmate, which is Louie, because I probably would have never left him. And, but you never know, like maybe if Joe would have came home, I don't think it would have worked out. So I think everything happened the way it was supposed to happen.
Did Jen Shah reach out to you for advice at all? Because obviously it's a different type of issue, but you know, being in the public eye and going through.
No.
I think she hasn't reached out for.
No.
No.
Yeah, no, that's totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, what I did and what she did, I guess it's in black and white. I mean, you could basically say, like, everyone thinks that, yeah, it wasn't me. I mean, that's why I walk with my head up high, because it was my husband that, you know, didn't pay taxes. He paid business, but not personal. And yeah. And then, back, you know, what's so crazy, like back in the day, I guess if you were in that whole world, banks were giving out loans like it was nothing, you know, banks were doing that. And but banks didn't get in trouble, but the people did eventually. Cause then that's what, you know, so you have to be in that world to understand it. Mm-hmm. So
Melissa, did you follow that whole saga when it was going on? Like, were you big into the entertainment news stuff or
what? Yeah, I mean, I remember watching Bravo. It was either sports I watched or Bravo. And those were kind of the two that was either on. And I remember starting to watching, like, I would watch Road Rules and Real World and all that. And then that's when, like, OC started and, you know, Jersey and all them picked up. And I remember seeing it. I don't know if I watched, like, as much as I do now. But I do remember when that happened with Teresa.
I was just curious if you've had so many questions locked up that you're like, I want to ask her these things. You guys get into this at all, or do you guys leave that for...
I'm
fine with talking about it, mm-hmm. but I just, a lot of people judge.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like. Like, for instance, I was on Dancing with the Stars and I
hate the first clip.
And I'm like, I talk about it. I have no problem talking about it because I know who I am. I know I didn't do anything. So I have no problem talking about it. But when somebody tries to twist it and make it look like a bad thing, that's when I have a problem with it. And I remember being on Dancing with the Stars and they showed it. Like, they talked about jail. And I was like, that's so, like, why would you do that? Like, in that, here I got distracted because they're showing, you're not supposed to look at the clip before you start dancing, but obviously it's like right there.
Yeah.
And that, because like a lot of people judge you because of that, because mm-hmm. obviously I used to do that. Guys, I want to tell the story. I could tell the story. I'm going to tell the story.
Tell the story, Teresa.
I'm going to tell the story. My brother's first fiance. I want to tell the story. I never told this story. My brother's
talking
first
to,
huh?
Who are you talking to over there? I'm gonna tell the story.
My brother. I'm talking to myself because I want to just show you guys what, like, this is a learning lesson for everyone. In like, my brother was engaged to someone else, and they got engaged. The father ends up getting convicted and goes to jail. So they had to postpone their wedding for another year. So instead of having a year, you know, before they got married, they had a 2-year engagement. Well, when we found out, like my parents, and we found out that he was going to jail, we're like, oh my God. Like, you know, he was obviously, it was, I guess, connected in some way. I don't know. Like, obviously, whatever he went to jail for. So we were like, oh my God. Like, even my parents were scared. They're like, they didn't want my brother getting mixed up in this family. Like, maybe he's going to do the same thing. And it's like, we judged. We did. Yeah. Like, my parents, not in a bad way, but they're like, oh my God, he's going to jail. You know, they were kind of like, because my parents always did everything the right way. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, maybe this was a learning lesson in my family, that like, to not judge. And like, they didn't, the thing was, like, my brother ended up, you know, it didn't work out anyway. It was, and I guess that's the way it was supposed to go. But I remember, and I'm like, and I always think about that. I'm like, I don't know if this was a learning lesson for our family, was like, look, you know, and then I went away and it's like, what the hell? You know, it was like shocking,
yeah.
You know, but the thing is, I know in my heart that I didn't commit a crime, and I know I was, you know, I just got, you know, I went away because they wanted to make an example out of me. So, and that's a hard pill to swallow, to deal with that, just because I'm on TV, they have to make an example out of me, really, because I signed papers, which I think that's unfair. Because if, you know, you should really do your research and if the wife is not involved, don't put her away. Like, why are you going to take her? I mean, thank God, not go. I mean, trust me, I had to deal with, it was hard for my kids. They still have, I'm sure, things that bother them. You know, it was hard because it at the end of the day, you know who it hurts? The kids. At the, you know, because the adults, we can make it through. It does affect the children, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the hardest things for you to kind of go through as far as being in reality TV, where people think they know you, but they really don't know you. And it's got to be sort of like a mentally a little bit challenging too, because people come up to you and they act like they know you. In your head, you're like, wait, do I know this person? And then you realize, oh, they're just a fan of what they have. But also, like you said, they have their own opinion of what's going on and they kind of don't know shit.
Like everyone thinks I'm like this mean person. I'm so mean. Meanwhile, guys, I'm the coolest, most chill person. Like, right, Melissa, tell them. I mean, I'm so not drama. If like I'm the opposite of drama, but of course you watch my TV show and it's all about drama.
Well, yeah, so, you know what, to you guys too, I think to your question earlier about, you know, I watched it as most of us did. Mm-hmm. And it's just like from the show, from things, it's like, there's just been a lot of drama and shit. It's like, I don't want to keep banging on it. You know, it's shitty. You're a mom. You're like, we all know what went down. So I think like as much as I sometimes, especially being like an interviewer or a host or whatever, you want to ask the questions. It's like for me sometimes, especially now I put myself in, you know, me being a mom and stuff like that. It's like, don't need to keep banging on this shit. Like we can talk about other things. And so I think that's why I never really, we've talked about it. More so I would say off the pod than on, but you know, I mean, look.
Well, because that's the thing. You don't want to keep talking about something that people see it as an obviously negative. Because when you go to jail, it's a negative thing. I mean, you're not going to, you know, it is.
When it wasn't like it was the most positive for you. So, like, why do I want to keep bringing, you know?
And that's the thing. But I know everyone's so intrigued about it. So that's what I'm saying. I have no problem answering any question. It's just, I don't want to, like, it's like I want the judging about that to go away. Because I know who I am and I know I didn't do anything. But unfortunately, I had to go to jail for just signing papers because I'm on TV, which I get it, you know? Yeah. And that's why I have no problem saying it, because I'll say it as loud as, you know, I'll sing it on top of the mountain because I know it's true, you know? And it's unfortunate. And I'm sure there's other people like me that have gone through this, but don't get me wrong, like I'm sure there's a lot of people that do commit crimes that they shouldn't be in jail, but under my circumstances, I know, you know, I didn't commit a crime, it was my husband, but I got punished for it.
So. Well, you did mention that you met some really like wonderful people there that were, you know, doctors, lawyers, whatever. Do you stay in contact with anyone that you met while you were behind bars, or
once in a while my roommate. And then it's so funny, like I saw someone that I was in there with did an interview, and they said they were reading my diary when I would like go work out at the gym.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was because I was writing my first memoir, which ended up being a New York Times bestseller while I was in there. So I guess like, yeah.
Oh, that's so awkward. Knowing that they were reading your stuff.
I was writing exactly what was going on every single day, like in my, in my notebook. So I didn't know that these bitches were reading my diary while I was like at the gym. Yeah. But like, I have to say, nobody messed with me. Like they, you know, I guess from watching the show, they must be like, I'm not messing with that girl. She'll be flipping the table on me.
Let me ask you this, change subject a little bit, but Melissa and Teresa, you guys have both been around the scene for a long time. Who was the nicest, the coolest celebrity that you guys have met? And then who was like the one where maybe they were a little rude? It didn't go the way you wanted it to be. They weren't the person you want them to be.
And you look it up. If you look up Teresa and someone else, you'll see it all over the place. But I don't even want to talk about her anymore.
What about you, Melissa?
The night Kobe.
Yeah.
He was... He was incredible. He was Uncle Kobe. He was the best.
See, I like that. I love when you can say nice things about a celebrity because, you know, we're all the same. We're all this, you know, we're all the same.
Well, who was it for you, Teresa? Who was the person you met that was like, man, this person's awesome? They're everything you wanted them to be.
I have to say nobody was ever really, well, only one person was rude. One person.
It's Sofia Vergara.
Huh?
And it was Sofia Vergara. And she's in New York right now, actually. And I had this similar experience.
Yeah, she's filming. She's going to be on with my boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar experience with her. She was leaving the Monkey Bar.
And she's going to be on with my girl, Alexia.
Oh, wow.
What happened?
This is when it was like the early seasons of Modern Family. She wasn't, this is like when she first kind of came on the scene, she became a star. I think some people were even questioning her accent. And she was, she wasn't rude to me by any means, but she was just, she wasn't warm at all. And I didn't have the same experience as Teresa, but she wasn't warm to me by any means.
What, did you bummed out?
Did you I wasn't bummed because I didn't hear your experience. I've seen the Google stuff, but I didn't hear about your experience. I only saw it on Google. Was I bummed out? No, because I didn't have expectations for her. I wasn't like a massive Sofia.
Yeah, I wasn't bummed out either. Like it wasn't my doing. It was her PR person and my PR person we were both interviewing with Mario Lopez one after another, and they wanted us to take a picture. And then, you know, and she didn't want to. And I was like, I didn't ask for a picture. I wasn't my doing anyway.
So. Yeah. She sat next to me at a concert. I was at Guns N' Roses, like the Apollo Theater. And her ex-husband, Joe Mangiello, was sitting right next to me. And the other side of her, he's a big dude. Actually, I had to like hold him up. He was so into the concert. I had to like hold him up on his chair so he didn't fall over. And then the other side was Sofia Vergara. And we're at Guns N' Roses at the Apollo Theater, 10 rows dead center. She seemed like she didn't want to be there.
Aye.
You know, like she wasn't really into it.
You're at the Apollo Theater with Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, she didn't seem into it at all. But he was like so into it. Like he would have been moshing if there wasn't seats. And I was like, I didn't even know the guy. I was like, dude,
it's so funny though. I was just at a couple months ago, was it at Mondeo's?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. This girl comes up to me. She wants to take a picture of me. I was like, okay, no problem. And now Louis noticed where she sat after we took a picture. Louis saw where she was sitting, like a few tables behind us. What do you know? A few minutes later after that, walks in, you know who?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sofia Vergara. And she walks in. And of course, we made eye contact, me and her, so she knows exactly who I am. And guess who she went to go sit with?
Oh,
the girl that just asked to take a picture of me. It was so funny.
Wow.
And then she was fine.
That's funny.
So, it was so funny. So I'm sure, I don't know if she told her, like, I just took a picture with Teresa. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure, you know, she knows. I've seen her a few times, you know.
So here's the thing. I don't want our conversation to be over. So what I want to do, I think we head over to your guys' podcast to finish our conversation. That way, any of our listeners want to head over, follow us. We're going to go over to the Namaste
Beachy
podcast.
You're not allowed to come back. Adam, you're invited.
Yes.
And we're going to finish this conversation. I do have one last question for you, Teresa. You being an Italian, obviously you've been to the best Italian restaurant on the planet, Olive Garden. Breadsticks,
I've never been there.
How do you not go to Olive Garden?
We are going to an Olive Garden.
Yeah, Melissa wants to go there with me. I've never been.
How do you live in this world and never been to the OG?
Because for Italians, I mean, I don't want to say nothing bad about the Olive Garden because, you know, God bless them. But that's
God bless them and their breadsticks.
Breadsticks.
That's not a real. I used to think that was not in a real Italian restaurant. Like, that's how
never been. You know where I'm taking her this year? I'm taking her to two very, very key places in my life. The OG, Olive Garden, and the Shoe.
The Shoe?
The Shoe?
What's the Shoe?
The fucking horseshoe. What? The Ohio State Buckeyes horseshoe.
Ohio. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was like, what?
I was like, what restaurant is
my
this?
My daughter goes.
Is that a
guys,
West Coast
I don't know
chain?
If you guys know. My second daughter Gabriella, she goes to the University of Michigan, and they just won this championship.
I saw that.
And they won. And they beat Ohio, so that's why she's a little bitter.
Ohio State. Just don't say Ohio.
All right. Head on over to Namaste Beaches, and we will finish this conversation up.
A Huda Media Production.